Okay, grandkids, this is Stunt Granny Audio 495. We tried to start early, but as usual, when Jeremy and I do this, we end up talking about other bullshit before starting and never start early.
No, we didn't, and I'm just incredibly happy with the end of SmackDown, which I'm sure no one else is gonna be. But all right, and this is gonna sound the weirdest thing. Hey, everybody. I love the fact that Randy Orton shows up for 5 minutes of TV time every 2 weeks, and today was literally a minute's worth of TV time. He didn't have a video package. He didn't have a ring entrance. Nothing. Just the RKO out of nowhere, and the show goes off the air. That's hilarious. The guy's working that money to the fullest extent, man.
Yeah, he's out there among those guys that it's just God bless. If you're allowed to do that and make that money, like you can't call him like a Brock Lesnar where he doesn't show up every week, but he shows up every week and puts in the minimal work and still probably gets paid at least somewhat reasonably close to what Brock Lesnar gets paid.
Can you name the last time you saw a good Randy Orton match? And this is not a dig on him, by the way.
Probably on a pay. I'm assuming it was on a pay-per-view somewhere.
No, I was legit asking because I don't remember one. I know he's had matches, mind you, right? But
Right.
the one that stands out the most is, what was it, WrestleMania 30? We were just, what, 30? Wait, what are we at, 35 this year?
I believe so, yes.
So it would have been 33 with him and Bray.
Oh,
That
Jesus.
that's the one that stands out to me. Like, that's it.
Oh
And
man, that was it stands out not in the
oh yeah, remembered for all the wrong reasons, but
best
I mean, and just that was the end of Bray for the most part. I know they had the Woken Matt Hardy stuff with him, but good Lord, I mean, where's he been?
I've seen him get more TV time on the ENC show
Yes.
than on actual WWE TV. Like, I guess I expected him to come back at some point, but it's kind of getting to the bizarre point juncture with him. It's just like, huh?
Yeah,
Like,
well,
it has to be
something's got
over
to be
a
going on.
has to be over a year, right, that he's been on TV.
No, it's not that long. Because remember, Hardy and him were tag team champions
But wasn't
last
that
year.
around last WrestleMania? Like, he's got to be going on 10 months or something like that.
No, they were tag team after that. Because remember,
Oh,
Hardy
okay.
won the Andre Battle Royal because Bray interfered to help him win.
Oh, yeah.
And that's when they started to get along and won the titles. So,
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
it was definitely this year, though. Or,
So
I'm sorry, 2018.
it's maybe only been about 6 months then.
Right.
That's
But
still
still,
a long time to not be on TV.
for non-injury disappearance, I think that's pretty nuts. But
Yeah.
there's something weird going on there because JoJo got pulled off of TV, which no one's really noticed.
Oh, no,
Yeah.
I did not notice that.
Yeah, she's the ring announcer for Raw, and no one's really said anything. Well, apparently someone finally asked, and I guess she's attending a personal situation, so
Oh.
whatever that means, I mean, I really don't know what that means. That's just what they said, so I'm not gonna speculate that she's pregnant, and that's why Bray's off the road.
Oh, but that'd be kind of weird if he was off the road like months ahead of when she left the road.
Yeah, it's like, it doesn't it get into that old creative has nothing for you thing?
I would.
And it's like, well, how is not everyone in creative fired?
Well, yeah. I mean, that is like an evergreen question that we could honestly ask every week. But I mean, it was kind of funny. Like, as much as I liked the gauntlet match that we talked about, like, that really gives creative the week off when you fill like the last 45 minutes of one show with one match. That basically
what an easy fucking job, man. I mean, you have the week off, and do you have any faith that like they're actually planning something? Like, all right, so we got this extra time, so we got plenty of time to do stuff. And it's like, no, I don't see that happen.
Oh, yeah,
I mean, what did Raw start off with? I started getting into this before we started, but we had a similar tag team match on SmackDown of where the three teams are going at it, and you know whoever loses starts the match.
Oh,
so what happens on SmackDown? The exact same thing. And I'm like, what?
Well, and they
it
did.
It kind of makes sense, which is fine.
Yeah, they did mention that that was going to happen ahead of time, though. So I guess it wasn't unexpected.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
They did say on Raw that it was going to happen on SmackDown, too.
Okay, I missed that.
But yeah, I mean, I guess it kind of leads back to that same point. Like, you're kind of, it's almost a week off for creative. Like, you, between the gauntlet match and those two matches, like, and it does make a great deal of sense because I don't feel like they've done that too often. It always seems like they go for the winner gets to be the last one out of the pod like they did for the gauntlet match. So it was kind of minorly refreshing to see the loser get stuck opening the match. Because you're like, man, when they just draw sticks or whatever they want to say, random numbers, you know, it's just like, oh, okay. But at least someone losing makes sense why they need to start the match.
Yeah, and no, I agree with you. It's way better. Like, remember when they used to draw the numbers of a Royal Rumble? How cool that was?
Oh.
It's kind of like this. Like, they finally have a reason. Like, well, I don't know if it was ever explained before, but like, who starts, like, what's the criteria for who starts an Elimination Chamber? Or who starts, you know, I guess the Royal Rumble, but, you know, everyone draws numbers. They just don't show it on screen anymore, I guess.
And,
you know,
yeah.
So I'm with you. I like that, but I guess I don't have that much of a problem with it now if they did mention it on Raw, so never mind.
Oh.
Yeah,
they said they were going to be lazy on Raw.
Okay, I totally missed that. Because Raw was so goddamn interesting that, you know, you have to keep going.
Raw was just bizarre. Like, it wasn't, like, wacky bizarre, but I don't get, they've kind of had, and I guess kind of starting with the women's tag match, I don't understand why you end up kind of, the last 2 weeks they've teased the rift with Bayley and Sasha Banks again, and I'm like, oh my god, you finally got these two on track, and even Banks challenging for the women's title didn't really take them off the tracks, and now you're starting it again right before the big match?
Well, I don't know if they were really starting that rift again, unless you're Corey Graves, you know? He's the one that's always talking about it. I don't really remember.
Well, just the fact that they gave him fodder 2 weeks in a row with Sasha Banks bailing out of the match.
Yeah. Okay. Is Corey Graves really good at his job, or does he really dislike certain people? Because he sure as hell seemed to hate Enzo and Kaz. And they're gone, so we don't have that anymore. I mean, Corey even did that weird straight to the mouth or straight to the talk or something like that, where he was interviewing Enzo and he was clearly annoyed with him, you know?
Oh.
And then always bashing on Enzo. He didn't like Elias. Now he's kind of turned around on it, so maybe that's just a gimmick there. But he is relentless on Sasha Banks. No matter what the storyline is, he's always finding a way to dig at her. It's really weird.
Yeah. I don't know if he does, if it is more personal than he lets on, because, but yeah, I guess to me, they gave them the opening by writing the story the way that they did, because I did feel like he kind of let off of it a little bit, but yeah, man, they gave him an opening, and he's just gone for it, and, like, I'm kind of getting to the point where I'm getting Corey Graves fatigue.
Yeah, I think having him on two shows doesn't help. He's the only one.
Yeah, and it doesn't help.
Nigel McGuinness got replaced on 205, didn't he? By Aiden English. Or is he still on there?
No, I think it's a three-man booth now because, you know, we need three-man booths everywhere.
Yeah, UK is still two, thank God. Yeah, because Vic is the only one that's on two shows, isn't he? Besides Nigel, he's on UK and he's on 205. And Nigel's on NXT, 205 and UK. So, never mind that. But other than that, but Nigel doesn't really stand out. I don't mean that in a negative way. He does his job, he's good at his job, and there you go.
Yeah, he's kind of more like a real analyst. Like, Graves does, like, whether it really is personal or not, he makes it personal.
Right.
Just by virtue of how he does commentary.
Yes. And I don't know if that's good or bad, but it's very noticeable.
Yeah. And it just does not help to me at all that just, I think I said it in a tweet, and I might have had it in the column, that David Otunga is really the only person who's had any ability to argue with him.
Probably why he's a lawyer.
Because, like, Michael Cole and Renee Young, like, he's saying, oh, Sasha's such a wimp for going to the back. But then, like, tonight and last night, there were two other people. It's just like, oh, don't risk an injury. A more important match is coming up on Sunday. Just get out of there. It's just like, really? Like, no one's going to call him out on this? Like, none of you idiots are going to call him out. You're just going to let him get away with it?
Yeah. Well, Renee's kind of useless. I mean, I know, like, everyone loves her. You're not supposed to say that, but
she
doesn't add anything.
She's an upgrade from who was on the show, Coachman. But it's
because she watches.
Yeah, she's been an improvement, but not by a whole lot.
I mean, she doesn't add anything to the show. She was put into this position. She was good as, like, the backstage interviewer. She was good as the talking smack person, you know, the host.
Oh, yeah.
She's good as that. But it has not translated into an announce position yet. And I don't know if that's, you know, they're not teaching her correctly, they're not coaching her correctly, they're not talking her up correctly, or she's just, you know, just doesn't have the chops. That's all. I mean, there's nothing wrong with trying something and not being good at it.
Yeah. You know? And I mean, like you said, like, she was good at the one aspect. You're not always good at all the aspects. Yeah. Like, would Corey Graves be a good backstage guy? I doubt it. But, you know, they haven't really tried him out in that position, so you don't really know. Renee's kind of been a jack of all trades, so it's easy to kind of say what you think she was good at and what she wasn't good at.
Yeah, and you just got Michael Cole, just the company guy, like, I gotta sit here between these guys. Like, okay, so.
I've got to read my ad for.
It's come to the point where it's like, no one's goofing on Michael Cole. Because he does just a serviceable job.
Well, and the other thing it's helped with him is they haven't given him, well, because he just gets to come and do his job, they haven't given him any goofy angles to run with. I mean, the worst part was when he had a personality. Like, he basically does not have a personality now.
Right. Yeah, he's just the announcer now.
Yeah. Every now and again, he will kind of call Graves out on something, but it's kind of few and far between. And yeah, it lasts for, like, two lines, and then he's back to either calling the action or doing the next read that they need done.
Yeah. So it's a different world, which it's funny because on NXT, you have, you know, Mauro, Percy, and Nigel. Do you remember when Percy Watson started?
Yeah.
You remember how bad he was?
Yes.
He's really good now.
Yeah.
He talks, he makes a good point about stuff. He talks, it makes sense. He says stuff, and he'll go back and forth with Nigel from time to time. You know, because Nigel does that weird thing where he's a heel sometimes, he's a face sometimes, and then sometimes he'll just yell at Percy for no reason. Like, okay. But the whole point is Percy got better. And I guess that goes to the Renee part where, you know, and maybe this will happen with Renee, and we'll just be like, oh yeah, she's really good all of a sudden.
Well, yeah, because...
So that's the hope.
Yeah, because, I guess I was thinking in-ring-wise, at some point I'm like, oh, Carmella's good. Like, we made fun...
You know why she's good? She's in the correct role.
Oh.
They screwed that up so badly for her, and... When she, all right, this is my theory at least. When she became champion, no one wanted her as champion. People wanted Asuka, Becky, or Charlotte. And then what do? They kept having her pull off these fluky-ass terrible wins and bad matches because, you know, they couldn't carry the girl. Or, you know, you have your agents talking to her saying, do this, do this, do this. So her title reign was just like, ugh. The way she won it and then had to do it again and then had Ellsworth, and it was like, they're just handicapping this girl. And then I started realizing, oh yeah, they did the same thing with Jinder Mahal. Gave him the title and just handicapped him with a bunch of bad stuff. So.
But yeah, I guess to get back to the announcers themselves, there was some point recently where I thought to myself, I'm like, Percy isn't bad anymore. And like you said, and because it has been a very short time frame for Renee to be on commentary, so I think if she keeps at it, there might come a time where there's a difference. If we're rolling around to next WrestleMania and we still just think that she's barely better than Jonathan Coachman, that's not good news.
Yeah, she is basically Coachman, but she watches the product. And she doesn't try and engage. And she engages Graves, but you can tell they're friends, so they've done this before. But then also, she's not doing her, what was Coach, the word of the hour?
Well, it was word of the week, and then he changed it to word of the hour.
Brutal. Like, it's, oh boy. But, and now he just does kickoffs. Like, he quit ESPN, or did he get fired or quit ESPN? WWE again, and he got downgraded all the way to pre-show guy. Like,
yeah, I think he was one of the guys that got let go, like, in that one of the big layoffs that ESPN had.
Oh, was he? Okay.
Right. I think so.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, this is what everyone wants to hear, discussion about announcers. I don't even know if, you know, As the huge, we just go in whatever direction. So you go where the story takes you, and that goes back to creative with their lack of storytelling.
It did start with talking about and I think it was because I was latching on to Sasha and Bayley kind of giving Corey Graves that opening to bitch more openly about Banks again by having her go to the back. She didn't go to the back last week. She just really was kind of useless for the whole match, and Bayley won it for them.
Oh.
And, yeah, I don't... Yeah, I don't know. It just seems really weird with them. Like, I actually think that Bailey and Sasha have been better since Banks had that match with Ronda. Like, because even Bailey seems to have a little bit more of a mean streak as far as her in-ring stuff. Like, I don't think she's really doing much different, like, move-wise, but she seems to be putting a little more authority into it. And, you know, again, we're not talking about much of a difference, but she is one of the bigger women, or at least taller women. Because, I mean, Bliss, Banks, and I'm trying to think of who else. I mean, because Tamina and Nia Jax are just kind of in a whole different ballpark, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, there's just no comparing them to anyone. But,
I guess it's something you could compare it to, but
you know, I just, most of the women are on the smaller side. Carmella isn't that big. Because I'm trying to think of who else was in that. Oh, I have it right in front of me. Even Sarah Logan, for being the powerhouse of the Riot Squad, she is, you know, not that big.
no, but she's got one of those frames on her, just like a like that low center of gravity. She's especially like even like women I work out with, like some people are deceptively strong. She's got
Oh.
that build that she's deceptively strong. She was, you know, she was trying to do the powerhouse stuff, and you know, I mean, you look at Liv Tyler. No, I'm sorry, Liv Morgan. I always mess that up. But it just, you know, you see that together, and you see them together, and I guess that's why, because, you know, Ruby Riott's not that big of a girl either.
Oh, no.
But in comparison, you know, Ruby's or Sarah's got that build on her.
Yeah,
So
she, I wouldn't
I
really
kind of
call
get it.
her stocky, but it's the best way to describe it, I guess. Because she's no Otis Dozovich, where she's as wide as she is tall. But I
Yeah,
mean, like
yeah.
you said, she definitely has a little bit of size to her, and but isn't particularly tall. 'Cause yeah, I don't think she's any taller than Liv Morgan, but you can definitely tell that she's bigger than Liv Morgan.
Yes. But Liv's also, I don't know. She would never impress me in NXT. She's come up and they won't really let her do anything. Which I don't know if it's good or bad, but
Yeah, she's another one where I think she's at least improved some in the ring. But you know, it's always a little more hidden when you're in a tag team than when you're a singles wrestler.
yeah. Well, and I just love how she was the plucky, like, New Jersey girl. I think it was New Jersey, right? You know, the little plucky girl and all this, but I don't know. Sarah Logan has grown on me. I thought she was kind of weird at first, like the whole thing, but when you mentioned Otis Dozovich,
Oh, I'm sorry. We're just supposed to call him Otis now.
oh, I'm sorry, that's right. Otis and, okay, do you remember,
Big Tuck.
all right, do you remember when we were, I messaged you at work and I went, there's a guy in NXT UK named Tucker. And I go, what a terrible name. So they got rid of Tucker Knight's last name. WWE now has two guys named Tucker. Do you remember when they couldn't have like so many Steves or Gregs or I'm sorry, or Shanes?
Oh,
Yeah, those
yeah.
were with like big name guys like Shane McMahon, Shane Helms. Well, no, it's got to be Gregory. All right, Steve Austin, Steve Blackman, William Regal. Like, okay, I what? And now, boy, have times changed where you've got two Tuckers. That's just weird. Like,
Yeah.
that doesn't make any sense.
I still don't get the one name thing, the one name
No.
obsession. Like, you'd think that Vince is from Brazil and only watches Brazilian soccer, but I know for a fact that Vince does not watch soccer. So the one name thing is just so strange to me. It's just like, do you not think I memorize sports players' names? Do you think I don't know that Sidney Crosby's first name is Sidney? Or, like, sure, I might call him Crosby all the time, but come on, man. People can fucking remember this stuff. Yeah.
Well, but you also, like, when you're calling a sport or transcribing something or whatever, you know, you're not going to sit there and say Steve Austin all the time. Or you're not going to say, well, I guess you did say The Rock a lot, but,
oh,
you know, Mankind, Mick Foley.
Yeah. You do usually go by one name.
Right. You go with, like, natural stuff. Like, all right, Dozovich. But usually it's a last name.
Oh.
You know? So it's like, all right, so,
I guess they thought Knight was too plain to stick with.
Well, he put a K on it, gave it some English flavor. You know? Well, no, it's weird, but even that, like, SmackDown was weird tonight. Maybe I missed a bunch because I was doing some other stuff while it was on. There was no Andretti. Lana and Rusev weren't on. Rey Mysterio wasn't there, right?
Nope.
No Shinsuke. No Asuka.
Nope.
And, you know, Asuka, apparently, and I haven't paid attention to this, she hasn't been on SmackDown in almost a month.
I didn't realize it had been quite that long.
Yes.
Honestly,
marks week three that she's not there.
Okay. Well, okay, yeah. Yeah, because she just had a video package last week, because I know that Chris and I talked about it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there wasn't even a video package this week. It's just, I don't know what it is. They're like, oh, we love to give the Japanese people titles, but then we need to keep them off TV as soon as they win titles.
Yeah, it's like the most pressing issue right now is the women's tag team and a match for WrestleMania. Not even the Elimination Chamber. I mean, didn't Raw last night seemingly feel like it was a go-home show for WrestleMania? Even though, you know, a bigger go-home show for WrestleMania than even mentioning the Elimination Chamber.
I mean, it was the opening segment and the ending segment.
Yeah.
Was about WrestleMania.
Yes. I mean, it's very, I mean, I know with the network now, like, the Elimination Chamber, you can get away with that. Like, if you're actually trying to legit sell pay-per-views, I don't think this would happen. I don't think, at least.
Because it seems that, well, A, it's just kind of funny that they're pushing the women's tag titles when I know that everyone celebrated at least a lot of people online celebrated the Revival winning on Raw this week. But can you tell me, like, from WWE TV, not NXT, but could you tell me anything about Dash, Wilder, and Scott Dawson on main TV?
Well, they couldn't stay healthy when they got called up. And
but personality-wise.
Oh, no. Not, I mean, honestly, not a thing. I think they used to put them in the little, you know, box inserts or whatever, you know, that they brought back this week, which were, some were really good, others not so great. But no, I mean, honestly, no. And then you saw that fire they showed after they won the Raw titles.
Oh.
And I was like, that's some NXT stuff right there. I mean, you know, they even said top guys out, which, you know, as a fan of theirs, I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Like, they were just talking shit. It was like, where's this been? Oh, yeah, they didn't allow them to do that.
Oh, yeah, because I guess that's the point I was getting to. They're pushing these women's tag titles, and they can't even keep the men's tag titles even in view for anyone. Like, Rude and Gable, Rude and Gable were just kind of a whatever. I really don't mind them as a team, honestly. especially since it didn't seem like they were going to do a whole lot with Rude as a singles wrestler. And I don't know why, but Chad Gable, despite him being completely awesome in the ring and at least decent on the mic, they don't think he can be a singles wrestler, evidently.
Wait, I'm sorry, who are you saying was...
Chad Gable. He's great in the ring. And I think he's been okay with promos, whether he's been with... Like, I liked his goofy, you know, trying to talk Jason Jordan into being his tag partner back in NXT. And even, I thought he played a decent role when they decided to hand him that shit sandwich when Jason Jordan became Kurt Angle's child.
Yeah. Yeah. You know.
Like, I don't think he's been bad on the mic, but for whatever reason, they're like, nope, this guy can't be a singles wrestler. And we're not really going to give him, you know, they give Rude the promo time now for the most part. Like, is Rude better? Yeah, he's better, but
I don't know if I agree with you on that one.
Oh, really?
Rude's fine, but he's always been stiff. He's always been stiff. Gable, like, all right, and this is going to sound, I don't know, it's going to sound the way it sounds, but you knew they were losing last night. Because they changed, well, one, they changed their entrance up. They were both doing the pose at the same time. Because I liked it a lot better when Rude was the serious one and Gable would jump out in front of them and be like, yeah! Like, that, I mean, that was fun. And that was kind of gave you more of like a insight into Gable's character. But when they were both serious last night, I was like, yeah, they're losing. And, you know, that match was really good, too.
And that's one of the few things, like, I'm one of those few people on the internet that I'm just not that big for the Revival. Like, I don't, they're fine, I guess, but.
It's their look, man, and it's gonna haunt, and the thing is, they both know it. Like, Dawson's the...
He has the Chester A. Arthur beard.
Okay. He's the one that even said, I know my spot here. He's like, I wouldn't make it in WWE as a singles wrestler. But as a tag team wrestler, we can do a whole lot of stuff. And I think Wilder probably feels the same way, just because, you know, they're the same. Yeah. Same height, same build, really.
I mean, they could probably eat a few less carbs and get carved up, but they kind of like being paunchy, so...
Yeah, but here's the thing. We've got so many athletic-looking guys and gals that having someone different's fine.
Oh.
You know? Like,
yeah.
Remember the early 2000s that everybody looked the same? Same hairstyle, same shorts, same physiques. And it was like, ugh. And just look at like what our age group or our generation considers... Like the glory days. Big Boss Man sure shit wasn't in shape.
Oh.
Back then, pudgy as hell. Shit, we had King Kong Bundy, a bad guy, for God's sake. He had all sorts of shapes and sizes.
Yeah.
And then somewhere along the line, everyone decided, well, we all got to get in really good shape. Like, well, no. We all look the goddamn same.
Well,
and it got really silly with like,
My argument against that is how many out of shape guys do you see in sports? Like, other than offensive linemen, and even they're in really good shape, honestly. Like, they just pack on some pounds to be 300.
Yeah, but you're comparing a real sport to this entertainment stuff. I mean, you gotta, like, wrestling's always had their characters. I mean, hell, you go back to the 70s, like Dick the Bruiser. Dusty Rhodes, for that matter.
Oh.
Shit, how puffy was Arn Anderson all the time?
Yeah, but I'd argue if you're just saying entertainment, do you see a fat superhero?
Oh, yeah. The Blob. Well, he's a bad guy, I guess. He's dead, too. He had Bouncing Boy from the Legion of Superheroes, which the gimmick was he was so rotund he was round.
Yeah, but it's some pretty slim pickings. Aquaman is ripped. Black Panther's ripped. Batman's ripped. Captain America's ripped. Even Tony Stark, for God's sakes, who has to wear a goddamn costume, is ripped.
Yeah, that's a weird thing, too, because, again, looking back at older comics, they just drew them. And I think it was George Perez was very intricate. He had, like, those superstar artists who started that trend. And then all of a sudden the 90s came and everyone was jacked like a pro wrestler. Like an 80s pro wrestler from the WWF. It was ridiculous. And it just stuck.
Yeah.
Some superheroes have abs on top of abs, on top of whatever the side abs are called, on top of whatever your shoulder abs are called. I know superheroes are totally unrealistic anyways. For God's sake, at least make them look somewhat real, you know? It's crazy. But anyways, Now, I like the variety of styles. I like the variety of people. And this includes the women, too, because... Look, my favorite female wrestler, Nikki Cross, she don't look like anybody.
Oh.
She's fine as hell, but she don't look like everybody else.
Yeah, and I do think that they've at least done a pretty decent job. Like, you were kind of talking about the terrible names, but I do think that there's still kind of a variety of shapes and sizes, because at least you can tell that Braun Strowman is... massive and super strong, but he's not going to have a six-pack anytime soon.
Dude, did you remember when he debuted what he looked like?
No, not really.
Go back and look at the transformation that he's gone through. It is incredible. He had to have weighed near 400 pounds. I mean, everything was big on him. Big gut, big face, big hair, everything. And now you look at him, and it's like, I think he said he weighs 360. And that's a shredded 360 for a guy his size.
Oh. Yeah, to drop 40 pounds is a decent... I mean, because what, he's 6'8 or 6'9, something like that?
Yeah. But unfortunately, he's becoming just another one of the pack guys at WrestleMania time. And maybe they're trying to bring him down to earth, because he'd always complain, like, you know, you don't want this guy as champion because you're going to get another John Cena thing where it takes, you know, an asteroid to fall on the guy to beat him. So they've brought him down a little bit, which may help in the long run.
Yeah, but he still basically need an asteroid to beat that guy. Because, even on Monday, he stayed down for a while after, like, a triple team beating. But then he came and cleaned house on all three, including Bobby Lashley, who is also a small mountain.
I don't understand. That guy is 45 years old.
He looks Holy shit. I didn't realize he was that old.
Yeah. Shahid actually told me that. I was like,
God, but I mean, he's only years.
He's 42.
Oh, okay. But so still, he's our age then.
Show me 45 next week. Shit. I mean, that's crazy to me that he looks like that, and the fact that he sustained that entire physique and getting into MMA where you're supposedly drug tested.
And you're supposed to lean out a little bit.
Yeah.
Of course, at least he's in the heavyweight division, so.
He looked like he was bigger during MMA than he was now. Like, I know this is going to sound dumb considering what he looks like, but he looks leaner now. Maybe he looked leaner in MMA. One of the two. He looks a little bit leaner.
I've seen zero of his MMA fights, so.
Well, the MMA version of him, it is bulky muscle. Like, his muscles look bigger to where, like, him now, he's just a big dude, you know? So.
Yeah.
But. Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, we've mentioned the new people a bunch. I don't understand. Like, well, one, we already know something's wrong with Lars Fredrickson. Like, what? Yeah, because, you know, he's also the bassist, the guitarist for Rancid. Lars Sullivan. That's what I wanted to start early, I guess. So who knows when he's coming back. And then Lacey Evans was nowhere to be found.
Oh.
Nikki lost to Ruby Riott, which, you know, is obviously going to piss me off. But I also look at it going, I don't understand why she faced Ruby Riott. Or, I'm sorry, Nikki Cross. Why not Alicia Fox? Just something.
Oh, yeah. Because you definitely wanted Ruby Riott to have a win going into her match against Ronda Rousey. Since, yeah, they've kind of taken a little bit of the heat off her for singles-wise and have concentrated more on Logan and Morgan as the team.
It's too bad because Ruby Riott's really good. But
I guess that's another one where she lost all momentum because she was out for, what, 3 or 4 weeks with some type of, obviously it's a minor injury if she was only out for a month.
Here's the thing with Ruby Riott, though. Remember when she fought Charlotte? I can't remember what pay-per-view it was. And it was like, everyone was like, oh, here we go. And it was really good. And I understand it's Charlotte, I understand it's Ruby. It should have been good, but no one really gave it a chance. And it blew everyone's doors off. And now they're giving it to us again, which is even cooler. Well, I mean, I know it's Rousey. But at least it's Ruby in the ring. Oh, my God. Ruby Riott versus Ronda Rousey. I just realized that.
Oh, man.
That's a mouthful, man. A mouthful.
Yeah, there's a lot of R's in that match. A whole lot of R's in that match.
Well, Ruby's going to be catching the big L in that one. So.
What?
Yeah.
I'm being underestimated. I'm going to come out the champion. Well, nah.
Although, I mean...
You're not. Charlotte, you should say that.
Charlotte said she's not going to interfere, but she will be there watching. And then proceeds to say, well, maybe I'll have a new match for WrestleMania. It's like, well, are you interfering or not? Because that's...
I would have... In my estimation, she will be there to help Riott make it closer than any of us will probably expect it to be.
Yeah, I mean, I'm always open for new stuff like this, as long as it's good. And I already know Ruby Riott's good. Rousey's proven to be good in matches where she can compete or practice. So, we'll see how it goes. And
yeah. Yeah, that.
You know, but it's like the new people, man. It's kind of a waste. I mean, Nikki started off really awesome, then lost the tag match, okay, and then lost this week. I'm like, okay, and then EC3 basically got lambasted by Dean Ambrose. Didn't let him talk. He goes, well, "Where's EC1 and 2?" And this, and it's like making fun of the whole gimmick, and then he loses to him. And I'm sorry, then he beats Ambrose, then he loses to him this week. And like I said, Lacey Evans already found Heavy Machinery. They lost that, you know, tag team gauntlet, not gauntlet match, but elimination match. We haven't seen them since.
I'd have to say that they're probably the ones that have been put into the best position for the most part. They've gotten the most TV time out of anyone. But since they dropped their last names, they haven't been on TV. So
yeah, it's like, do you think we're gonna forget who they are just because you're calling them Otis and Tucker? Jesus. I'd actually be okay with it if they were calling them Otis and Tucker Machinery.
Oh,
that'd be kind of funny. But.
Yeah, it's. I'm trying to think of everyone being a Ramon.
Yeah,
I guess I was trying to think of other other instances of where people take all the Dudleys. Yeah,
yeah. How many different Dudleys were there? All weird names, all that stuff. But no, I don't know. But you're right. Raw was a weird show. But the new people, just they shouldn't have brought him in. There's no reason for him right now.
Oh.
And
that's the weirdest thing. Like, the timing of it, because you know that there's always a concentration on WrestleMania. And bringing people up at this time is just weird. Because even speaking of people coming back, as big of a name as Kevin Owens is, if he's coming back in 1 month, I know that they still have some time until WrestleMania, but I guess how does he factor into things? Or what does he do? Like, he has 1 month, but if he comes back in 1 month, he only has 1 month to get into some type of prominent position for WrestleMania, which is not a lot of time.
No, and I gotta figure it's gonna be some sort of intercontinental match. It's him, Finn, and Lashley. You know, just guessing. Because he's got that beef with Lashley for putting him out.
Oh.
And what a weird return video for him. At a bowling alley?
And he throws a gutter ball?
That was weird. I didn't see that until the day. And everyone was talking about, oh my god, he threw a gutter ball. Well, it didn't make him look bad. It made him seem more down to earth, which we haven't seen from him at all. You know, it because I was listening to Meltzer talk about it. He made it sound like he was like, you know, just showing he's like this fat guy. He's just a schlub and all this. I go, I didn't get that at all. I got that as he's out hanging out with his friends, and he was trying to act cool, and it messed up. You know, that's it.
Yeah, that's honestly the vibe that I got. He's like, oh, I'm going to go out here and be a hot shot and throw a strike. And then he throws the gutter ball. Just because, like you said, like he's just trying to show off too much. So it wasn't, it was not his best performance. I was amused that he ended up having to explain the fact that he was wearing a Chicago Blackhawks hat. Just because, A, I didn't realize that he's one of, like, three Canadians that doesn't like hockey. And B, he evidently does that for, he just has, you know, hats from around the countries of, you know, teams from from areas. So, and he did show off a sweet-ass jacket that his grandfather had from the Chicago Blackhawks. It was like an old 70s jacket that his grandfather used to wear. I am no Blackhawks fan, but that thing was sweet.
Yeah, yeah, all that old stuff's cool, man. You know me, I'm not the most nostalgic, but you see some of that stuff, and you're like, it doesn't need to be updated. Because, like, there's this classic stuff. Like, I obviously haven't seen the jacket, but I just know from, like, the old Detroit Tiger stuff, the old logo is so cool.
Oh.
It's all sorts of different crap. And then you see the new stuff, you're like, ugh. But it's, what was the worst one? Remember when Toronto, the Blue Jays? Wait, I think it was the Blue Jays. They changed it from just a Blue Jay, a bird, to like this, no, it was the Oregon Ducks. That's what it was. Remember they had the old Donald Duck one?
Oh, yeah.
And then they changed it to like the Cyber Duck or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
It lasted like a year and everyone just took a giant dump on it, which they should. But,
I'm really fascinated. Someone did a story or did a book on the Gordon's Fisherman from the New York Islanders.
Oh my god.
And how that thing came about. And I heard an interview with the guy that wrote that book. And I was like, I almost need to pick this thing up because this is really fascinating.
Okay, and I know this is totally off topic, but was that the first ever, like, that we can remember utter failure of a jersey? I mean, it lasted longer than you think, but the second it got released, I'm like, are we joking?
Oh,
like,
well,
trash.
And someone mentioned that, or that same interview, I think they mentioned that it was the number one or number two selling jersey in the league for 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, just never underestimate the stupidity of New Yorkers, that's why.
So,
but it's also tinged with people going, I have to have this garbage.
Oh, yeah. And honestly, like, I look back at the 90s Penguins logo, which is like, because I started watching hockey really in the very late 80s. And that 90s logo is just straight trash. And the triangle penguin.
Okay, I was just about to say, the one with the stripes across the front with the penguin and the triangle on it?
Uh-huh. Yeah, not because it's just the penguin head at the top with the triangle at the bottom.
Yes, that's it.
Oh my god, that thing is awful.
Yeah. You know, I'm no Penguins fan, but you stick with the penguin with a hockey stick.
Yeah.
It's always going to be, like, relevant.
Yeah.
Because penguins aren't going to change all of a sudden. You know, like, it's the stylized stuff, just...
Yeah, it was definitely a 90s design. I will just put it that way.
It's funny, they got a picture of Yarmer Yager wearing it. He's got short hair and he's young. Like, oh, boy.
Oh, yeah, I am so disappointed in Cam. He has not put out the stunt granny requested top five. I said that it needed to be top five wrestling mullets. Speak of Yarmir Yager.
So wait, so we're like top five wrestling mullets. Are we talking like legit mullet or, oh my god, that's awful mullet? Or is that the same thing?
Well, do you want me to give what I told him was my top five? Because I can pull that up real quick. Because I did look, it was kind of hilarious that there were already a couple of different threads. Because the WWE had one, and I'm trying to think of maybe Deadspin had one. It was one of the other kind of like... sub-sites that have, or, you know, popular sports sites that has wrestling coverage. Now, I went with, my top five was, number five, Jake the Snake Roberts. I definitely value some length in the mullet. Mike Awesome.
Okay, I'm with you on Mike Awesome.
Eddie Guerrero had a fantastic mullet at one point. So he was my number three. The Brian Knobbs mullet is so terrible that it's awesome.
See, all right, I'll disagree with you on that one. Because that was part of the character, too. Where these other guys were just wearing their hair because they liked it that way.
Okay, yeah, I can see that. And right. I guess I value length a little bit. Shawn Michaels and his curly perm mullet. To me, you just do not top that one. I know, because I don't think anyone had the Michaels mullet number one. Because I think someone had Guerrero number one, and I think Michaels was like middle of the pack in both of them. Because him and Jannetty were kind of paired together in one of the lists that I saw.
Yeah. So we're just gonna forget about Crush.
He
had a two-tone mullet because he had blonde hair. When he was Kona Crush or whatever. Then he had a brown or black when he was Crush and Demolition. And then remember when he was doing that weird transition. He had a brown top mullet. He had the brown top and blonde, party in the back. So,
that's
what you can't take for granted, man.
Yeah, he was on another one of he was on one of the lists that I was consulting to come up with my own top five.
You know, to be honest, is it harder to come up with a top five wrestling mullets than it is a top five wrestler? Your all-time top five wrestlers.
Yeah.
And there's that, or your top five wrestling mullets of all time. Which one's the easier list for the other?
To me, it's the wrestlers.
Yeah, it's gotta be.
Like, I have a more, because, like you said, like, there are definitely some factors. Like, I see your point on Brian Knobbs, but, whew, man, that thing
is
it is horrific. Like, and I really wanted to, because I do not have one on my person, but I really wanted to send Cam a picture of the DeFrango mullet.
That was so much. One of my favorite parts of the reception. I'm already a little tipsy, and you guys were playing that video, and I just went, "Oh yeah!" I was like, "I enjoyed that." And you looked at me, and go, "Obviously." I'm not known for being quiet, so that's how people. If I am, they'll ask me if I'm okay. So we can stop after this, I guess. But on the mullets. What about Pillman? Because it's gotten now to where he's got a legacy mullet and his son mimicking his own haircut. Does that deem a number one ranking because his has gone from one generation to the next?
I forget who posted. Was it Sean Waltman posted a picture of him? I've got to look in the likes on Stunt Granny here. Because he had, like, a puffy bangs and a mullet. And it's just like, oh my god. Because Shawn Michaels' hair was just kind of big. Like, you could almost argue that it was just all long hair. And I might not completely disagree with you. But Pillman's was definitely a mullet, and he has some pretty serious curls to go along with it.
Yeah, I'm looking at Shawn Michaels' mullet now, and there's no one's got a picture of, like, oh, there it is. When he first started doing the Heartbreak Kid thing, and he had that length is just great. he always wore his hair in a way, though, that made it look like he's had a mullet forever. There it is, the Rockers version of Shawn Michaels. Because the Rockers, he would wet his hair down, or at least be a little sweatier, so it would, like, you know, tighten up. But when it wasn't wet, that thing was flowing everywhere. What a time to be alive, man. I mean,
it was a pretty glorious mullet.
Yeah. Anyways, yeah, so. Did Chris Jericho ever have a mullet?
I'm not sure that he did. I think that he came along. It was Natalya, because there's a picture of Pillman and Owen Hart.
it was a goof. Okay, I was like, immediately Chris Jericho pulled up with a mullet, but it was for like a TV show he was doing.
Oh. Okay. Yeah, fake mullet does not count. You needed to rock that thing.
Yeah. So I brought that up for a reason. I told you before, like, I think I told you this. Chris Jericho is incredibly unlikable now. Like, he's done such a great job that he's not doing anything cool. He's either, and I know he's, like, supposed to be the rock guy, whatever else, but you see, like, even at that AEW press conference, he comes out, and you're like, look at this dad trying to look like a badass. Like, yuck. but you know that's what he's going for.
Oh, like,
you know he's doing it on purpose, but it's so bad, like, it works so well that I just forget about it. And then him, like, yelling at Kenny Omega and stuff, like, you're a goddamn nerd. So kudos to him. He deserves a lot of credit for yet again reinventing himself.
That guy has reinvented himself more times than I care to care to admit. And just his long, like, he's one of those guys that, because people started talking about him. Like, literally being one of the greatest ever, or possibly the greatest ever. Like, his longevity in the wrestling game is definitely something to be admired. Like, his peaks were obviously not as high as, you know, a Steve Austin or The Rock, but the longevity that he has over at least those two, because you can't really say he had it over someone like Ric Flair, who was around for goddamn ever himself. Right, right. But at least a couple of the guys you probably consider for your Mount Rushmore, he's had a longer. Even Shawn Michaels, honestly, he's probably had a longer career than him at this point.
Yeah, because Michaels had to take 5 years off, whatever for reasons. And yeah, but Jericho, man, he's done it on so many different platforms now too. I mean, he was Mexico, ECW, WCW, WWE.
Japan.
New Japan, back and forth. And I was going to be doing for AEW. And I mean, putting him in the conversation's not, it's not, you know, ridiculous.
I still don't know if, you know, if we're going back to the top fives that he cracks that. But top 10, I have a hard time arguing against him being in a top 10.
Yeah,
you know,
the wrestler thing I'd have to think a little bit about, but it would still not be as difficult as the mullet. Because there's so many varying degrees. Like, but anyways, yeah. But no, like, what did you think about the AEW press conference? I know it was like last week, but we didn't get a chance to talk about much.
Well, no, and I guess just because it's kind of aired in a kind of a bad section for. Stunt Granny podcast recordings. Because was that a Friday?
Or no, it was a Thursday. Thursday.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's still bad. Like, I wouldn't have had Ken actually come up here. I wouldn't have talked to... Well, actually, he was a little... He did come up here, and he was a little shocked that I was watching old New Japan from last year on the TV and listening to the press conference.
Yeah. All right. So, yeah. I don't see anything wrong with that. So.
Yeah. Well, it was old. You know, like I said, it was last. It was last year's stuff for New Japan. It's just recording now that I realize I have access.
Yeah.
Or AXS, whatever it's actually called.
That was access.
So I think like a new an old episode always airs at 5 a.m. So I'm like, whatever, I'll just watch some of these year old matches because I know that it's some of them I haven't caught. But yeah, I did get interrupted during part of the press conference because you were talking about Kenny Omega being more the spokesman.
Oh, yes.
For the brand. Sorry, because. I did miss a lot of Cody Rhodes talking to my parents. because I do think Cody Rhodes is a pretty good speaker. I think he's better than you were talking about Matt Jackson. But Kenny Omega really just, he seems very, like, even if he isn't thoughtful, and I don't think that's the case. But he, even when he talks, he seems very thoughtful about what he's saying. And plus, I don't know what it is about. I know that Cody Rhodes dresses well, but there's something that seems more, you know, business corporate about the way that Omega dresses.
Yeah, that's funny.
Even.
Yeah, no, I didn't think about that, but yeah. No, and it's not like Cody was bad, and it wasn't like the Bucks were bad. It was just, that's how good Omega was.
Oh.
I mean, heartfelt, you know, just articulates his points very well, but it also makes you believe it. Like, so even if it is a corporate speech, he's saying the words, that, and you believe every word he's saying. So it's, yeah, just weird. And not weird, I guess, but it was unexpected. So, I don't know why it's unexpected, but It's like I was talking to my buddy Frazier, who we always go to the events together. My, you know, I saw Kenny Omega in the ring, but, you know, like a lot of times when I do promos and stuff, well, it's Japanese, and he speaks Japanese, too. And he's always in character. To see him outside of his character, well, his character in New Japan and his character on Being the Elite and his character or his real personality in this are such, not stark, but there are differences, but they're not that great, but it's enough of a difference.
Agreed. Yeah. There are definitely small differences that you can pick up on.
Yeah.
And it did help that, that was the thing that I probably saw the most. But I did see Brandy introducing a lot of the, female talent that they were adding. Honestly, it almost seems like more of a draw than the male talent sometimes, which is kind of the case in the WWE at this point too, where the female talent seems way more interesting than the male talent.
Yeah, AEW's. I'm not crapping on it because they just sold out another show. But some Frazier told me too. I was like, what are they going for? And I'm like, I really don't know. So,
Yeah, and it's something that Chris and I kind of discussed. It's one thing to run a one-off show like they did, and to build up to it for 4 months. Or whatever that time frame was that they had on Being the Elite. 4 to 6 months. Like, and it's going to be a completely different thing to have to do this on a regular basis.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's kind of hard to, like, what's their vision going to be? It's going to be hard to tell. To be honest with you, like, I mean, you can maybe guess some stuff from what they already do, but it's still going to be different. Like, Being the Elite is 20 minutes, maybe 30 minutes tops.
Yeah.
And they still don't have that many characters on there. They're going to have more characters to deal with.
They keep putting people in there. Like, Joey Janela's constantly on there now. And then MJF, somebody else that they added. But see, like, and even Being the Elite, well, Joey Ryan's a character again. Being like Being the Elite, they still have their storylines, and then they have, like, their real stuff, you know? But, like, Being the Elite's a weird show because it helps. But for me, like, I was not familiar with Marty Scurll until I watched Being the Elite.
Oh.
So if that's your first introduction to him, that's not a good introduction, because you're like, who's this goofy asshole? And then I see him at live events, I'm like, I'm supposed to take that guy seriously? Like, singing Britney Spears? Was that what it was? Or Backstreet Boys or something like that? Like,
yeah.
Okay. So.
Yeah, I've always sided, and this is known stunt granny friend Steve Williams is definitely not a fan of one Marty Scurll, but I guess I've always kind of liked the and why am I just blanking on the movie, the Stanley Kubrick movie, A Clockwork Orange.
Oh, okay.
Because I feel like he borrows a lot of his imagery and look from that kind of either era, or, you know, it's kind of in that arena to me, his look, which makes some sense since that was supposed to be English.
Yeah.
And I guess to me that kind of that always helps, like when you have good design work that kind of hones in on something that I enjoy. I'm always a bit of a sucker for it. But yeah, his character on Being the Elite is just kind of a goofball. And yeah. It's definitely one of those things that in wrestling, it does not... you can keep a longevity with being a goofball, but you're not necessarily, like you said, like, be taken seriously as a goofball.
Yeah, And I was like, even like with the ROH shows where he's like the leader of Villain Enterprises now, and I'm like, okay. He had like PCO and Brody King?
Yeah.
Yeah, who's really awesome. A tag team with him and Luke Harper would be probably a dream, but who's actually, Luke Harper's actually cleared now, so he should be coming back to TV soon. So, I'll be curious if he's back for Elimination Chamber and possibly help Brian out. I don't know. But
yeah, I would not argue if he got a singles run and stayed away from those two.
I wouldn't either. But it also makes sense if he comes back with Bray, and then you can have Rowan and Danielson, or sorry, Daniel Bryan versus those two. That'd be pretty cool. But,
Down with that too.
Yeah, just for the hell of it. Bray, there's a lot of history there too. So,
yeah, agreed.
Yeah, I don't know. How long have we been going? I haven't even been paying attention.
We're at the buck 10 mark.
Oh.
This is the least I think I've talked about the direct product, at least the weekly showings thereof, in quite some time. Like, I know that Shahid and I can kind of veer off topic from time to time.
What's the point talking about the direct topic half the time? And I know that's kind of a dumb thing to say, but it's like, all right, let's go over segment by segment on Raw. No. Why? Everyone does that. So, fuck, it's supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be fun. Oh my god, have you ever added up the amount of hours you spend watching wrestling per week?
It's even higher, and it's kind of scary, because we can kind of run off on this. I've started, per week, like, I've started to watch even more.
Yes.
Recently, like, because you really can, and like, even that, we've kind of talked about it a little bit in instant messages, that Women of Wrestling started coming on. I've started to tweet about that for breakfast. Oh my god, I just think that announcing in wrestling is just, announcing in general is just trash. Like, whether it's hockey or football or baseball or wrestling, I don't understand why it's so hard. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah,
I can listen to a podcast about something, but to have to listen to announcing, it's just trash most of the time.
I was talking to my buddy Greg this weekend. Like, have you seen this? No. I was like, dude, I spent so much time watching wrestling that I don't have enough time to watch all this stuff. He goes, how much wrestling do you watch a week? And I'm like, a week? I go, outside of attending stuff live, and if there's a pay-per-view, so I'm gonna take those away. So on average, I figured this out. And that's not if there's a New Japan event, I'm not including that, okay? These are just every week basic stuff. 3 hours for Raw, 2 hours for SmackDown, 1 hour for NXT, 1 hour for 205 Live, 1 hour for UK. So that's what? 8 hours right there. I've been watching MLW, which is an hour, so 9. Hour New Japan on Access. I just lost my train of thought. Well, anyways, it roughly came to almost 12 to 13 hours of wrestling.
Yeah, because on your list, at least for the WWE, I still haven't really gotten around to 205 Live or UK. I did watch their takeover, but I got 6 hours WWE, 2 hours for Impact, an hour for Women of Wrestling, an hour of ROH, the hour for New Japan now. So, yeah, it is an insane amount of wrestling. And then, yeah, like you said, attending wrestling is another thing. Like, I can't believe that the wife was like, we're going to Las Vegas this coming weekend. And Ethan Page tweeted out that Impact is doing tapings in Las Vegas this weekend. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to wait to come home and see the look on her face when I suggest this. I'm like, oh, Impact's taping in Las Vegas this weekend when we're there. She's like, oh, what day? Do you want to go? And I'm like, seriously?
Oh, that'd be fun.
And mean, it's
before,
only
before like some of those guys' contracts come up and they go to AEW or something.
And it's only $13. I'm like, oh my god, like that's like the cheapest night that like I barely I think I pay more for like the New Ohio Wrestling events
for sure.
that I go to. Like not a lot more, but I mean it's kinda in that area. Like I'm like how am I paying this little? Like I paid out because the NXT tickets that I have for when we come back there the week of my birthday, this is $50 for those. And I mean, it's not a tape, it's not a TV taping, and it's not going to be as much time as if we go to the Impact Wrestling.
Yeah, and yeah, yes. Because NXT is great, but it is a WWE product and pricing, so.
Oh, yeah.
That's for sure, but.
Yep. Because, yeah, the NXT events, as far as I can tell, are $75, $50, $25. And we did the $25 tickets, and that was standing room only. And the venue that they have them at here in Columbus, it's trash to stand up in. Like, it just really. The amphitheater that not amphitheater the theater that they're in the standing room only area does not have any angle to it. Like it's just completely there's the pit and the rings in the pit and then the standing room only is like behind some seating and you just really don't have a good like you know you can't find a good angle. Like, at least the other venue that, and they'll never have it at, the Newport, you know, there's a little bit of angle to the floor so that if you're back a little bit further, you can see stuff that's either on the stage or happening in the pit area.
Yeah.
I can't remember what it's called now, the newer venue down near a Nationwide Arena. is it Promo West Pavilion or is it changed from that? Well, whatever the fuck. You know, it's just flat. So, I mean, it just really does you no favors if you're standing. Like, because if anyone stands up to clap, you're just screwed.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Or bring a dumbass sign.
But, yeah, or a sign.
Yeah. Well, I'll be at Evolve this weekend. So, we'll see how that goes. Mm-hmm. I've been to an Evolve show. Adam Cole's there.
Baby.
And, the Street Profits are there, but only Montez Ford is wrestling. So,
oh.
I think D'Angelo Dawkins is there. I'm not sure if he's actually in a match, though. But there's definitely not a tag match. So, but then, it's funny because the PWX, the local Fed, has a show before it. And I told Frazier, I was like, we can go. It's only like $10. But we're going to be there from 3 o'clock to 11.
Oh my god.
No, I'm not going to do that. We were like, no, we can't do that. It's not a WrestleMania thing. You know, it's awesome by the end. So.
Yeah, I completely understand that one.
Yeah, it sounds like fun, but.
It's tough to sit through WrestleMania for that length of time.
Yeah, are you like regretting not going this year?
No.
Exactly. So.
No,
not at all. Next year's supposedly Minnesota.
Yeah, some of it has worn out, and I think I mentioned to you, and I, you know, we may as well say it on the show. Like, I'm almost kind of interested in doing one of the other big four pay per views, just because, like, I mean, you and I did Royal Rumble in Atlanta a long time ago with the ex-wives.
Yeah, that was fun. We got to meet Bruce Hardy.
Yeah, we got to meet him. So, I mean, it'd be kind of fun to either do a Rumble again or a SummerSlam. I don't know. Just Survivor Series is kind of in a bad time of the
year.
you know, just because there's a lot of traveling for family events for me. So I don't think
Rumble's
that one's
kinda bad.
Huh?
Rumble's kind of bad because it's in January.
Oh, yeah, it does kind of help that it's kind of the end of January, and plus I have shit for holidays, so I don't mind taking off a couple of days in January.
Yeah, yeah. If they could keep it over Martin Luther King weekend, that'd be great. Get the extra day off.
That weekend's always just going to be a bad one for me. So just because of the animal situation that has happened over that weekend prior to that holiday.
That's true. Yeah.
So well, we did a little drinking for them this past year, and it's probably going to be a concerted effort for the remainder of our lives. To put up a drink for the cat and the dog that got put down that weekend.
Yeah, but what a great way to kind of take the sting away. Because I always liked the Rumble. It's probably my favorite, second favorite. So, and the one we went to was fun too. And now, like, how grandiose they've made them.
Oh,
so,
yeah. And that's something that we did not enjoy. And we're probably not going to accidentally wander backstage either.
Yeah, it was still fun though. So, alright man, let's get out of here.
At DeFrango11, at Granny Maze,
yep,
at Stunt Granny, rate and review us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and wherever else you may listen to us, and have a good night.
Peace.